Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Ascension Help Radio with Cameron Day. I know your journey has been difficult. I know you have felt the pain of life on earth and wondered why you came here. I know you have felt unbearable anger with no outlet for it. But that pain and anger made you question your reality. And out of those questions, a deeper truth emerges. So even as the planet looks like it's beyond redemption, its salvation is already here. Because you are the salvation of Mother Earth. And you are your own salvation. Take a few nice, slow, deep breaths. We are in the process of coming home, of shedding the limitations of our third density mind and embodying the energy of our divine mind into every cell in our body. We are changing our brains. We are changing our DNA. We are smashing the walls of our self-created prisons within our own minds. We are spontaneously and consciously connecting to the galactic sun, the core of the Milky Way galaxy. As we connect to the galactic core, we remember our nature. We remember our true home. We remember our true selves. Now is the time to embrace this transformational energy and ground it into Mother Earth. Now is the time for us to transcend our egos and move into whole brain thinking. Now is the time for us to choose love instead of fear. Now is the time for us to choose abundance instead of lack. Now is the time for us to rise above the old world as it crumbles away. Now is the time for us to reclaim all of the energy and power we have allowed to be stuck in our past. Now is the time for us to free our minds from worries about the future. Now is the time to trust in the divine plan that we are all a part of. Now is the time to come home to the divine power within us. When we come home to the divine source inside of us, we change our reality. And when we change our personal reality, we change the collective reality on this planet. That is the reason we are here. To be messengers of change. Messengers of love. So relax, because this is just the beginning. AscensionHelp.com exists to give you tools you can use to free your mind and move your state of consciousness out of fear and into love and abundance. Take some more deep breaths and relax, because you are tuned in to the Love Channel. You are tuned into Ascension Help Radio with your host, Cameron Day.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Ascension Help Radio. This is Cameron Day, and I'm so very happy that you're here with me. It's April 30th. It's a beautiful spring day here in Western Washington State, and I hope it's just as beautiful wherever you are. And today we're going to ascend our frequencies a little bit higher. And that's what this process is about, is every day going up a little higher, expanding our light a little brighter. And I'm going to talk a lot today about lightening up, and getting into the heart center. Now, the head is great. Logic is wonderful. It's a tremendous tool that helps us navigate 3D reality. But balancing that with the heart is a critical step on our path of evolution, enlightenment, and ascension. And lightening up is the order of the day, the order of the era, because there's way too much heavy, serious energy out there. And I'm going to be dispelling the myths that have been propagated that everything has to be taken incredibly seriously, including your spirituality, when the reality behind the illusion of 3D reality is that the mind of God is thrilled, overjoyed, and in love with all of creation in every single moment. And we can tap into that overwhelming joy. We can tap into that total state of being absolutely thrilled with everything. Because it's there behind and underneath all of the seemingly real, seemingly very serious stuff going on in the world. So we're going to pull all of that apart. We're going to pull all those serious things apart and show the joy that's underneath it. The joy and the love of the infinite creator that allows us to play in this playground of illusion and to have those serious thoughts and those furrowed brows if we choose to do that. So before I get too far into the show, I'm going to take just a minute and do some self-promotion. Because if I don't do it now, then I'll completely forget to do it like I do most of these radio shows. So this will be relatively painless, I promise. So, ascensionhelp.com, ASCENSILNHELP.com. That's the website. Starts off with what I now call level one of the self-clearing system. It's all free. There's a series of YouTube videos or MP3s that you can download. And it's a combination of meditation and lecture. And it teaches you techniques that you can use to clear your energy field, to lighten up, and to reclaim your power from various limitations, limiting imprints, limiting illusions that are not real, but that we have chosen to identify with, chosen to believe are real. Once you've done level one, you can go into level two, which is a very highly polished version of the self-clearing system. And as the level denotes, it's a step above level one. It contains all of the techniques in level one and presents them in a much more fluid, strictly meditative process, very little lecture, whereas level one has a lot more lecture, a lot more of setting the foundation and telling you some of the details about why things are done. Level two puts you into a nice, deep delta state using the sourcevibrations.com binaural beat technology, the music in the background. That's our good friend Asa9 at sourcevibrations.com. That's where that music comes from. Now, once you go through the 30 minutes of the level one procedures, which is really the core of the self-clearing system, we go into advanced techniques. And I'm not going to spend much time describing those advanced techniques except to say that, yes, they are advanced. They are going to help you to reclaim your energy and transmute any blockages that you're addressing. And they're presented in a transparent enough way that you can apply them to whatever you're working on. So if you're overcoming religious programming from your childhood, you can use those techniques. If you're overcoming relationship issues, you can use those same techniques. Now, in addition to the level one and the level two of the self-clearing system, I offer personalized clearings where we connect via the phone. I call you using my computer, and then I record the call so that you can hear it again later as well. And I work directly with you, but mainly directly with your higher self. And your higher self will direct the sessions, and it will show me where we need to go, what the top priority energies are that we need to clear out and transmute out of your sphere of consciousness. Your higher self will show us what emotions have been frozen in your past, where your energy is still contained in the past. And we go in and we transmute that energy, we free it up from those emotions, and we bring it back to you in the present moment. And by doing so, we lighten you up and we expand your energy field. And so the phone clearings are very powerful. Before you go into a phone clearing, I recommend that you do level one and preferably level two, so you can have those advanced techniques under your belt and you'll have a feel for reclaiming your energy and reclaiming your power from issues that have been stuck in your past. And that will let us get really deep into the work on the phone session. Now, some people are good to go after one phone session, but keep in mind that this is a process, and we've taken on so many illusions from the world that it takes time, it takes effort, and it takes consistency to peel away those illusions and reveal that infinitely joyful light and that truly loving self that exists within us, that is absolutely at one with all of life at all times. And so I generally recommend anywhere from 2 to 4 sessions to start with, and a lot of people choose to do a monthly maintenance session as well, just to keep everything going in the right direction. So, self-promotion time is over. And we're going to get back into lightening up right here, right now. We're not going to put off the ascension towards some date into the future, because what good does that do you in the moment? All that does is take you out of the moment because you're looking forward to a future date. Now, the ascension is every moment that you choose it to be, and it's inside of you, it's inside your heart. And one of the things that I'm consistently inspired to do is to put this concept of ascension into practical terms that can help you right now and can help you in every moment of your daily life. And one of the most revolutionary shifts in the frequency of a person's thoughts and emotions, one of the things that everybody can do right now to put themselves into that ascension frequency is to transcend fear. And this show is going to go into a lot of the things that people are afraid of. And we're going to pick those little fears apart and laugh at them. We're going to lighten up those fears so that we can move beyond them and take back that energy that we have put into each of those spheres, so that you can be empowered to take back that energy that you put into your fears. Now, one of the early fears that people get imprinted with is the spiritual fear, and it's the fear of God from the Judeo-Christian religious programming. And it's even there a little bit in the Eastern philosophies as well, that you could somehow screw up spiritually and condemn yourself to endless reincarnation in the Eastern traditions. In the Western Judeo-Christian tradition, the all-loving Father is going to send you to hell if you don't do exactly what the church tells you to do. Well, I'm pretty sure that everybody listening to the show knows that that's just a bunch of mind control and it's not the case. But people, as children, don't have the objective critical facilities and the filters to go, no, I don't believe that. I'm not going to buy into that dogma. Children are wide open. And so they take on that imprinting. They take on that fear. And so somebody in the chat room is asking, wondering, why we have to go through all these illusions, because it feels like a waste of time. It feels like a waste of all of those years. And that kind of ties into that same thing of having made some mistake that is going to hinder your spiritual evolution, or that the mistakes in your past, the things that we've done in our past, maybe we hurt others, or maybe we were irresponsible, whatever it was that we did in our past that we still feel guilt over, that's holding us back. When we get on the spiritual path, that guilt just gets slightly tweaked, and we feel like the mistakes of our past are going to somehow condemn us to staying in the same frequency. It's going to prevent us from becoming enlightened, or prevent us from making the ascension, as if there's a train that's leaving, and if you don't pass muster, you can't get on the train, that type of thing. And those concepts are all very similar in frequency to the concept of God sending you to hell if you don't do what the church tells you to do. And so taking our spiritual development too seriously is one of those 3D things that gets us stuck again. And it's a disorder, really, of the 3D mind. It says everything has to be ultra serious in order to be a legitimate concept or a legitimate philosophy. It's got to be very serious. But that's just not true. Just we have to lighten up and realize that that seriousness is tied into the fears that we have. Those fears of not making it, of not ascending. Oh, what if we don't ascend it? Oh my gosh, what if something happens and I catch the bird flu and I die before I become enlightened? All those silly fears that run through little cycles in our minds. That's just not the case. When we can go beyond our 3D minds, just a little bit, it doesn't take going too far beyond the 3D mind to tap into that infinite love and that incredible joy, that ecstasy that's inside of every single moment. And we can tap into that state, even if we only tap into it for a few seconds in a day. Those few seconds are enough to radically alter our sphere of consciousness. Because when you know without a doubt that you are intricately part of the one infinite creator, then you know that you can't screw up spiritually. You can't be cast out by God. And all of those fears and those worries and that tension around being very serious about your evolution. Now, yes, you want to, of course, do the work that you need to get done, but keeping a light heart is really vital, because if you get into that seriousness, you're contracting yourself. But when you're in that lighthearted joy, you're expanding your energy, you're expanding your mind, and you're expanding your heart. And so you just have to lighten up and stop being afraid to make a mistake. Just acknowledge that you're going to make mistakes. And when you do make them, forgive yourself. When you do something wrong, whether it's mundane or whether it's spiritually wrong in your mind, forgive yourself. And when you look at where you're putting your power and your energy, if you're afraid to make a mistake, well, you're putting your power and your energy into fear. So just acknowledge you're going to make mistakes, because every time you put your energy into fear, well, that's kind of a mistake, but it's nothing that's permanent. When you beat yourself up over making mistakes, well, that's a mistake too. But again, it's not permanent. You can undo that. You can reclaim your energy from that. So just watch where your energy is going and your thoughts on a day-to-day and a moment-by-moment basis. Keep a close eye on your mind. Be mindful of your thoughts. And when you find yourself going into that criticism, forgive yourself for criticizing yourself and for going into those little criticisms. Because that inner critic is just a manifestation of the ego. And in the self-clearing system, we address the ego and we put it into the proper perspective, which is about 5 or 10% of the thoughts in your daily mind should come from the ego, not 90%, which is where it's at for most people as they go through their daily lives. So minimizing that ego, forgiving yourself, and lightening up when you make a mistake. Now, another big hurdle for people who are doing the diligent work of spiritual transformation, hopefully not taking it too seriously, but putting serious time and energy into their own evolution. One of the big hurdles is that things in a person's life start being disrupted. And it seems like more upheavals happen and more challenges start popping up to be dealt with. People start to go, well, what's going on? I must be doing something wrong. I must be messing up spiritually somehow. But what's really happening is that most of the concepts that we build our lives around here in the 3D world are based in limitation. In fact, I'd wager to say that 99.9% of human thought is based in a limitation or an imprinting from the past. Concepts like limited resources, limited time, limited love to give, limited ability to cooperate and share with others. So many limited concepts that we just take for granted. And we cycle those concepts through our mind and through our thoughts without even realizing what's going on. And so when we put our energy into those limited concepts and limited belief structures, we form our identity and our reality around those beliefs. And we're going to have to eventually take that energy back and to unwind those structures, unwind the energy that we put into those beliefs, reclaim that power that we put into them. And so when we put our intention out that we're going to evolve and we're going to grow and expand our spiritual awareness, we're engaging the law of attraction. And I'm not using that phrase in the term of just getting rich per se, but putting that intent out that we're going to dissolve the limitations that we've put onto ourselves and built up in our lives. And so that means upheavals. So people that used to like you when you were normal or when you were more like them, they're going to think that you're being weird when you're getting into all this spiritual stuff. Or maybe you'll tell them the truth about what you really think about them, how you really perceive them. And that's a big turnoff for a lot of people, because truth means vulnerability. And it means taking down the walls of separation that we build up around ourselves to have a boundary between us and other people. When we start being really clear in our thoughts and our energies, we naturally want to be honest. We don't want to waste energy lying to someone to build up their ego, because it just seems so pointless, because it is. So honesty begins to be the natural state of being. But there's a caveat here. When you're speaking truthfully and honestly, because you're moving into expanded spiritual awareness, please, please do not use that as an excuse to just hurl your unhealed emotions or victimization or anger and blame onto another person. Don't make that person the scapegoat for your emotions. And if you need to do that, if you feel that need, what you're actually doing is perpetuating that state of being unhealed and fragmented. So we don't want to go there with our truth. Truth is important, and yes, sometimes confrontation will be needed for key figures in your life, but not so much a confrontation in order to take them down a notch or two, but rather to reveal to them the full scope of the dynamic of your relationship with them and how they have affected you and how you created them in your life to have them affect you in that way. And so before those conversations happen, imperative that we do a lot of work on forgiveness. We've got to lighten up before we tell that person how they had a detrimental impact to our emotional state. We've got to be light enough to tell them, hey, look, this is how it was in the past. And I know you may not have meant to do that, but this is how it was and this is how I felt. And so now that you know, now that I've told you this, I'm going to continue on my path of healing, and I hope that you do the same, and maybe our paths will cross again. So when you've reclaimed all of the power and energy that you had put into the emotions that surround that person, or that surround the way that you perceive whoever it is in your life that from an ego level you may want to blast and put them in their place, when you take that energy back and you've really reclaimed your power, when you've really worked through those emotions and forgiven those people, then you can tell them the truth of your interactions from a higher perspective. It's at that point you can tell them the truth without the anger and the blame and all of those emotions getting in the way. And so maybe your truth for that person is that they were in your life to push you to a higher level of forgiveness. Maybe that's what they were there for, from a higher perspective. So you can detail for that person how their actions affected you and how you reacted to their actions. You can show them how they were a mirror for you and a catalyst in your own healing process. And when you can tell them that level of truth, then you know you've really achieved something rare and wonderful. You've achieved that beauty of healing through forgiveness. You've lightened up, big time lightened up. And you can, after you've had that conversation, probably you're going to be done with that person. You're going to be done with those old dramas and the traumas that you've engaged with them. And that's great. It's better than fine. That's fantastic. Let them go. Let them just fade out of your life. Doesn't mean that you need to hate or despise them. It just means that you're done with the past and you're done with that person's frequency in your life. And you've moved on. And that person might evolve on their own. And they may begin to understand more about themselves because of your interaction with them. And because you went to a new level of your understanding and you shared that truth with them, that could actually inspire them to go to a higher frequency within themselves. But if not, it doesn't matter. Just let it go and lighten up. It doesn't matter what they do with the rest of their life. It only matters how you have processed your truth and reclaimed your energy from those experiences in your past. So yes, it all comes back to you. How selfish. But just lighten up, because it's imperative that you concentrate on yourself while you're going through your ascension process. When you want to clean or clear something up, focus that energy inward and concentrate on your own sphere of consciousness. Because all those people that are pushing your buttons are just playing their particular role that you attracted, brought them into your life so that they could lead you through the maze of your own unconsciousness, so that you could navigate that maze and come back home to the amazing, loving, divine core inside of you. And so lighten up. And laugh at your hang-ups. Laugh at your limitations. Learn to laugh at all of that crap that's still holding you back. Because when you can do that, it means you're not taking yourself so seriously. And that means you can be light enough and free enough to look objectively at all of that baggage that you're carrying around. That will then allow you to reclaim your energy and your power from that baggage. And so I do, of course, recommend using the techniques on ascensionhelp.com to engage this process. Those techniques are all about reclaiming your power. And so did you listen to those techniques maybe once? Well, that might make you feel good for a little while, but it's not going to really change things much inside of you. See, these techniques are very simple, and they're transparent enough that when you practice them for a while, they become automatic. And so reclaiming your energy becomes an automatic habit, instead of something that you only do once in a while and then go back to sending your energy and your thoughts and emotions into fears and limitations and lacks. So if you practice these ascension help techniques, you will learn to recognize and then intercept those thought cycles of limitation that are happening in your mind. And then you just minimize the ego that's been harping on that note of limited ideas about yourself or the world. And then you take your power back from those thought processes. And it's remarkably simple. It really is. And when you hear these techniques, if you haven't heard them before, you might even think it's too simple to work until you get to the ego minimizer. That's actually where a lot of people hit the brick wall. Their ego pipes in and says, what are you doing minimizing me? I'm the one who gets you through your life. Darn it, you need to hold on to me. You need to let this stuff go. But they're very simple. And it does, however, take a good amount of focus and concentration. And it takes practice, most of all. You've got to practice. You can't just do it once and say, great, I did it, I'm good to go. It would be nice if that was the case, but it does take practice. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to make huge sacrifices, like fasting for days on end or spending hours every day doing my special meditations. No. That's not what ascensionhelp.com is about at all. Really what it is doing some initial study, taking some time, taking some hours early on so that you can make these techniques your own and focus your awareness in your heart and have that connection to your higher self, have that connection to the core of the galaxy, and to the core of Mother Earth flowing through you at all times. And having your energy field expanded all the time. Having that awareness of what's going through your mind all the time. And tuning your mind, tuning your frequency, tuning your heart to that background of love, that platform of infinitely joyful, divine ecstasy that's supporting every moment of every day of everyone's life. And once you tune into that frequency, it gets easier and easier to maintain. It gets easier and easier to go through your daily life with that frequency. And you can get to the point with not that much training. I mean, considering the spiritual schools that are out there and the various disciplines that students are put through, the Ascension Help stuff is much easier and simpler than most of what you'll find out there in the various schools and trainings and such. Then you can get to a point where you can literally take 5 minutes maximum to just breathe deep, do that higher self connection, do that galaxy being connection, connect to that core of the galaxy, do the cosmic flush. And just the name cosmic flush has got to bring a smile to your face. That's why I named it that, because it's goofy, it's funny. Makes you laugh. You're flushing yourself with galactic energy through every single meridian in your body, and it's an incredibly profound experience, and then I named it the Cosmic Flush. It's great. And then you do an energy refund. And you send all that energy back to the higher self of wherever it came from. And then you go deeper, and you take back the energy that you put into creating whatever situation that you were just in that had been draining your energy. And it's simple. It's easy. And best of all, when you're done reclaiming your energy for that little 5 minute span, then you get to carry that expanded energetic state with you. You get to be lighthearted. You get to lighten up. And then you go back into the world of all those serious people with their furrowed brows, but you have a light heart. And as you communicate with people from that lighthearted space, it's going to affect them in subtle ways. But don't take yourself too seriously and try to push your light heart on them. Don't be a lighthearted crusader or anything like that. Just allow them to be exactly as they are. And when you can forgive those very serious and maybe annoying people and understand that they are the way they are just because they're still carrying unhealed pain with them, then when you reach that level of understanding, you can love them and just hold that space of love and allowing in your lightened up heart. And from that expanded state of heart consciousness, then maybe you'll be able to say just the right thing that will give them permission to lighten up too. Because, you know, a lot of people want permission to lighten up. They want people to tell them it's okay to lighten up. They're maybe a little afraid to take that first step. But if you can't say that thing to get them to lighten up, or if they can't hear it, don't worry about it. Let it go. Because you're not there to change that person. Now, maybe you can, but you're not obligated to do that. So just let your heart guide you on that one. Let your feelings and your love guide you there. And if you can help lighten up their situation a little bit with the right word or a kind bit of encouragement, then yeah, do it and enjoy it. Just don't start getting all serious again because you think that you're duty-bound to spread that joy in your heart to everybody who needs it, whether they want it or not. We're going to spread some joy because that's that serious vibe again. It's that old world mentality that, oh, we've got the answers. We've got the system that you need, and so we're going to show you that you need it whether you like it or not. And a lot of times you don't have to say a word. Just by being there and allowing that person to be what they are and understanding where they are coming from is often a state of woundedness, and having compassion for their state of mind and not judging them, just loving them anyways. A lot of times that's enough to shift a person. That's enough to touch a person's heart and to plant that little seed of expanded consciousness. So you just have to feel them out, but don't try to force anything. Let it flow, because if you try to force them into a loving state, that's just going to frustrate them or maybe even make them angry. And it's going to frustrate you because you might feel like they're rejecting your wonderful gift of love and light. And so just give it unconditionally. Don't force it. And just know that on some level it's helped them. Even if it's a small little thing, it's at some point that will come back to that person. But the thing is, serious people have a lot of inertia. When they're really serious, they're just stuck in that seriousness. And they get used to feeling and thinking in the same old thought cycles and the same old habits of seeing the worst in situations. Right, always finding something to complain about. It becomes their habit. It becomes ingrained in their minds. And so we just have to let them have their habits and focus on your own habits instead and undo your own habitual thought patterns. And all of these ascensionhelp.com techniques train you to intercept those signals, those thought cycles in your mind that go into fear and uncertainty, self-doubt, And whatever little ego thoughts are popping around in your brain, in your mind, whatever it is that's keeping you from feeling lighthearted, these techniques teach you how to intercept them, reclaim your energy from them, and then literally dissolve them out of your brain, to literally dissolve those neural networks that had wired into those old thought cycles. That's covered in level 2, actually, how to literally dissolve the old paradigms of thought straight out of your brain. Now, there's a brain in your head, a brain in your heart, and a brain in your belly. These neural clusters in each of those centers in your body. And we often get really stuck in the brain and the head, and completely forget that there's a brain in the heart and a brain in the belly. And so the heart is the real key. It's the key to everything, really, as far as where we are evolving into within ourselves and in our society. And getting ourselves out of our head, out of that one mind, and into the mind that exists in our heart. It's so important that I should probably talk about it for like the next hour. Or not. Whatever. Just lighten up. It's okay. I'm not going to talk about the heart brain for an hour. That would be a little much. Now, some people may be wondering if I'm serious, if there's a brain in the heart and a brain in the belly. And yes, I am. In fact, if you just Google belly brain, I didn't make that word up, although I use it a lot because it makes me smile. It makes me laugh to think about a brain in my belly. That's a shamanistic concept that goes back to all the ancient wisdom traditions know that. And somebody's asking, wouldn't she also have a brain in the sex organs too? Well, that would somewhat tie into the belly brain as far as the centers of neurological connections. But from a strictly biological scientific perspective, you can prove that. There are clusters of nerve cells, ganglia, they're called, that very much resemble the clusters of nerve cells that connect in the brain. Those are neural networks, networks of nerves that wire together and fire in a certain frequency. Now, when that frequency is fear, then that becomes what those neurons are practiced at wiring. And they'll continue to send those signals even after you're moving along your path of enlightenment to transcend those fears. And a lot of the fear is held in the belly brain, in that region. Now, of course, there's the chakra system you hear about. Everybody knows the chakras, right? The lower three chakras. But not a lot of people put much time or focus into the fact that there's an actual brain in there that has wired neural connections based on your experiences throughout your entire life. So I get into that in level 2, how to literally dissolve those neural networks and rewire each of those brains into a galactic mindset. So you have a galactic mind in your brain, in your heart, and in your belly. And then all three of them are sharing energy and information so that you can be in tune with that love in your heart and then in tune with the instincts that are coming from your belly brain. And so getting into the heart is the key to stepping out of that torrent of thought cycles in the head. And that's what allows you to move into that really beautiful, peaceful energy center in your heart. And doing that will take care of so many of the conditions that plague our modern minds. Now, it doesn't mean that you leave behind any of your critical facilities. Not at all. What it means is that it's so important to quiet down those storms of continuous thoughts that are really just repeating the same things over and over and over in the mind. It's really important to quiet down that ego, to turn that volume down, to minimize it, and be in the heart instead. And so in level two of the self-clearing system, we get into consciously moving your higher self from floating above your head to being anchored in your heart center. And that's where it belongs. That's your higher self's natural throne, is in your heart. So integrating it there into your heart, that reintegration process, is a major step in this ascension cycle that we're all going through. And when you can really feel your higher self's light emanating from your heart, that gives you permission to get out of your head and really enjoy that heart-centered vibe. And so the more that you tap into that vast reservoir of power and love coming from your higher self, and you connect that power through your heart, instead of just trying to access it from your analytical mind, then a huge, huge new vista of potential opens up in your sphere of consciousness. It's like looking out of the Grand Canyon when you were previously stuck in a 10x10 room. That's the difference it is. Because your higher self is already lightened up. Your higher self is in total joy and ecstasy all the time. And it will transmit that lighthearted frequency to your heart and lighten you up. And your higher self is what's giving you permission to let go of all those 3D problems that you think are real and to be lighthearted in that knowingness that all of those 3D problems are just illusions. Illusions that we have created in order to keep our story interesting. And so longtime listeners will probably remember that I've talked in other shows about this entire reality just being a collective dream. And that we're just plugged into this reality with a tiny, tiny part of our consciousness online. And so, just like you don't worry about the things that happen in your dreams after you wake up, when you start waking up from the 3D dream, you can stop worrying so much about all the problems here. Now, of course, the world is still operating in problem consciousness. The world still is operating on a money system. The world still operates out of the ego mind. It operates out of very short-sighted environmental policies. But that's just because so many people are still really deeply asleep and still convinced that the dream of physicality is the only thing that's real. I mean, how sad is that? Pretty sad. But it's kind of funny, too, in a way. So, there's the powerful people out there in the world, the tyrants, the elite, the Illuminati, etc. And they're still doing their thing. They're still running their program. They're manipulating mass consciousness from behind the scenes. But that's just part of the dream here. It's part of the game. And that's why the urge is so strong inside of you, all of the listeners listening live or to the archive. That's why the urge is so strong in you to wake up from this dream. Now, I'm being told that my show has 5 minutes left, so I'm going to play a little song and extend that to 90 like it should be. It was probably my mistake, or maybe it's Blog Talk Radio. So I'm going to play a fun little 3-minute ditty of a solo didgeridoo, and I'm going to extend this out to 90 minutes. So enjoy the tune, and I'll be back. Okay, so we're up to 90 minutes on the show. Got 30 minutes left. That was Winds of Warning, W-I-N-D-S, Winds of Warning. If you can find that album online, I highly recommend it. It's all fantastic didgeridoo-based music, straight out of Australia. So, where did I leave off? The urge to wake up from the dream. And that's why it's so strong in us, because the dream here, the game here, is so contrary to the laws of love and the laws of life. This plane has been very much a playground of the tyrants. And for those that are still stuck in the 8-to-5 realm of existence, the best thing you can do for now is to shift your frequency, to shift your mind so that you can contain your thoughts in the realm of love within your heart, even while you do the job that you don't really like so much. To tune your mind to where Your focus is inward and on your energy field being expanded with the love of your higher self. While you're there in the corporate world or working that construction job or whatever it is that you're doing that you absolutely wouldn't do if you didn't have to in order to pay the bills. And just understand that where you are now isn't where you're always going to be. And when you can shift your frequency out of the politics of the office dramas into creating harmony amongst your coworkers, for example, and you can be the one that's actually generating harmony in your environment, that job isn't going to suck nearly as bad as it does now. That's one example of what you can do right now to shift your frequency on a daily basis. Because it really does start and finish with you, with each of us. It doesn't end with rounding up the tyrants and doing away with them, because they would just be replaced by more tyrants. But what has to happen instead is that enough people wake up from the dream and just stop giving their power to the old reality and stop giving that power to disharmony and discord and lack and start being creators of harmony in their own environments. So each of us can do that in our own little way. You don't have to do a radio show or be a philosopher. You can just reach out to somebody and help them to resolve a conflict that they have with someone else. When two coworkers are at odds with each other, you can be the one who brokers the peace. You can be the one that helps to create harmony. And so as we go about the process of taking back all of the power that we put into believing in the structures that hold this reality in place, things like religion and believing in nationalistic ideals as if one group of people from one region on the globe are superior or inferior to another, we illustrate to ourselves and to the world that that's just part of the dream of separation. When we take that power back, we're shining the light of oneness onto this illusion of separation. And there's so many constructs in the world that we can take our power back from. Things like our culture. All of that imprinting from our culture, that's based in a limitation. We can take our power back from that and transcend the imprinting of our culture. Our genetics. We can take our power back from what we perceive to be our genetic limitations that our parents handed down to us. Society as a whole. Society is just a mental construct that people put their energy into because they think that it's the determiner of their reality. You can take your power back from society. All of the energy that you've given to the current model of society, you can reclaim it. The media, that's a big one. Lots of imprinting there. A lot of energy refunding to do with the media. In fact, anytime you watch something on the TV or on the internet that came from the media, do an energy refund. Have your higher self send that frequency back to the higher self of the sender. And then take back your energy that had gone into whatever frequency that they were trying to pull you into. Advertising. That's a big one. Lots of imprinting there as well. Same thing as the media. Just take that power back and refund it. You don't need all that crap. You don't need all that stuff that they're trying to tell you you can buy. we're swimming in stuff in Western culture. The computers, the DVDs, the TVs, all the cars, more cars, the new car, they got the lease, you got the little GPS in the car, we have all this stuff. I mean, if we could just stop buying stuff for a while, we'd see how little we really need. Body consciousness is another one we can take our power back from. Elitism. We can take our power back from our own elitism, where we feel that we're better than somebody else because we know more than them or we're more spiritual than them. That's a construct that definitely needs to be unwound from every psyche. Pity for the poor. That's another one we can take our power back from. That's kind of a facet of elitism. And the monetary system, we can take our power back from that as well and stop worrying about money and just understand that the world at the present stage of evolution still functions with it. But we don't have to give our power to it. We don't have to be a slave to earn it. And if we're unhappy with our situation of monetary creation, we can create a new one. But first we have to uncreate where we put our energy into. If we've put our energy into a job that we think is the only source of our income, for example. So those are a few of the things that we can take our energy back from, a few of the constructs. And I'm seeing a lot of positive changes in the world and people really taking back their power all over the place. And just in, well, it's been about, I guess, 6 weeks since my last radio show. I do them less often because I want to just deliver fantastic shows every once in a while. And that when you listen to them, that they're just absolutely worth those 90 minutes that you spend here with me. So in those 6 weeks, a lot has happened. We saw massive protests at the G20 convention, the 20 biggest governments meeting to decide how they're going to keep the society functioning in the same old patterns, of course. And some of those protests involved people breaking the windows of an international bank building. This was in London, but they did it in a very civilized way. It was a very, just a very cultured type of rioting. I was quite impressed. They just sort of smashed the windows and then carried on with saying, down with the G20. Down with governments and banks keeping us as slaves. There's some backlash happening in France where they're actually kidnapping CEOs and collecting ransoms. So people are basically taking their own bailouts. Now, I don't condone, obviously, violence and kidnapping, but you got to hand it to them. I mean, that's, in a way, it's kind of cool because they're taking back their power. They're saying, you know, you got a multi-billion dollar bailout. You got to give us a couple million dollars. And all the CEOs, as far as I know, they haven't been hurt. They came back fine. So that's just one example. Now, I'm not encouraging that kind of behavior, though. What else is on my little list here? Moldova. This tiny little European country called Moldova. I hadn't even heard of it. And they had this massive riot. About 15,000 young people just showed up and protested their elections because they believed that there was voter fraud involved. People taking their power back. In Thailand, huge protests against the government there. Now, this has all pretty much happened in April, end of March. Protests in London. The Tamils were asking the British government for help in Sri Lanka. Now, that whole Sri Lanka thing is a big mess. I don't want to get into that right now. But in Georgia, there were protests there against their warmongering president, whose name is almost unpronounceable, Sastavidi or whatever. They're demanding his resignation. So people are taking power back all over the world. At the G20, one of the cops shoved this guy to the ground basically for no reason. And the guy ended up dying 5 minutes later of a heart attack. And so that's making news. And the general sentiment against the police and the authority figures is really shifting away from blind obedience and shifting it into challenging the status quo. So people are taking their power back all over the world. So we just got to lighten up and watch these changes unfold and hold that space in our hearts of that new reality of everyone on the planet being illuminated with the light of their higher self and being connected to their heart center. Another cool headline I've jotted down is that at one point, thousands of dolphins were blocking one of the Somali pirate ships so that they couldn't engage in pirate actions. So the dolphins are holding that frequency for the rest of us as well. So we just got to lighten up because things are in a major state of change and evolution and peaceful revolution. And that's the key, is a peaceful revolution. And that's actually what the tyrants don't want. They want a violent revolution. And they want to keep people in fear. I shouldn't call them the tyrants, but it's such a nice little catch-all. You could call them the Rothschild Illuminati or the Rockefeller NWO or whatever. You know, we can parse it out. David Wolcott's really good about that kind of thing. Check him out at divinecosmos.com. He parses out the different factions quite nicely. And now, when they can't get people to revolt, they try to with that whole goofy Tea Party thing and telling people to teabag the White House, which is a very funny choice of words. I got a good laugh out of that. So they moved on to their next thing, which is to keep people afraid. They pulled out the old flu needle and whipped out a swine flu out of their secret laboratories. And it's very clearly not a pandemic. It's very clearly engineered in order to keep people afraid. And how could I say it's not a pandemic? How could I be sure when the media is saying that it could be? Well, here's the deal. If it was really a pandemic, it would be way more widespread than it already is. And in fact, very few people have actually died from this flu that they're making a big deal out of. More people have died this year from the regular old standard flu than they have from the swine flu. So all they're really doing is just filling the airwaves with fear and throwing around the word pandemic just to keep the vibration tense. They want people feeling tense. They don't want you lightening up. So when you know that they're just trying to keep you in fear, then you can rise above that game. Now, profit, that's another motive for the whole flu goofiness. They're going to sell a whole lot of flu vaccines, and they're building a new flu vaccine facility in Mexico so that they can inoculate the Mexicans and make more money. And there's distraction, too. They're trying to keep people distracted from what's really going on, which is that people are waking up and truth is getting out there. So don't be afraid of the flu and help to spread some calm and some peace. And help to calm people down that you know if they're worried about this flu at all. Just tell them, look, you can actually, here's a good one. I've got this little quote here from Wikipedia. Back in 1918, we had a real pandemic that could truly be qualified to have that word. And anywhere from 20 to 100 million people died worldwide. And that was pretty major. But since then, our immune systems have gotten stronger. Our nutrition has gotten much better, even in the state that it is now with such denatured food available. people have vitamins. I mean, they didn't even have, you can't take a multivitamin back then. People were highly malnourished, and the sanitary conditions were much lower. So that was the last pandemic we've had, and try as hard as those little engineers might be, then no matter what they're trying to do to get those little pandemics going, they just can't get it going. They can't get that motor running, and that's a good thing. Because the key, really, even more than hygiene and nutrition, is consciousness. The consciousness level of the planet is so much higher than it was 80 years ago. And having that higher frequency of thought and emotion in your body will keep you from being sick, will keep you healthy. And so the main lesson we can take from this is to lighten up. And know that you're not going to get the pig flu. You're just not. So don't waste any energy being afraid of it. Because remember what I mentioned earlier about transcending fear. So when you find yourself in a fear-based thought cycle, interrupt it. Transcending fear is one of the main keys to ascension. You can't ascend in a state of fear. That lowers your frequency. So you stop that thought process. Minimize your ego, and then take your power back from those fears. So I'm so happy to be doing the show. 13 minutes left. And I'm going to pick on one of my favorite targets, one of my favorite fearmongers, Cliff, from the Webbots. You guys, I'm sure, have all heard of the Webbots, this predictive technology. Now, to be fair, some of what they're predicting is pretty cool. Now, I get emails all the time about whenever Cliff does a show, friends of mine send me emails going, look, it's about to happen. We're all going to die. And I laugh and I take a deep breath because we're not all going to die. So, in all honesty, though, some of what they're predicting is pretty cool. They're predicting the media getting fed up and starting to actually tell the truth. And that would be a very refreshing change for sure. Now, for example, back on April 20th, we just had the X conference on alien disclosure. And if you go to YouTube and type in X-conference all together, no space, then you'll see some videos on that. Edgar Mitchell was there. He was one of the speakers. It's calling for the U.S. government to declassify their UFO files. And it got the most tiny infinitesimal bit of news coverage, so small that it basically was a media blackout. But it did get a little coverage. It was even on some British CNN affiliate or something. So that was kind of cool to see a little bit of that. But then, boom, along comes the swine flu, and now people are freaking out. And maybe that timing was on purpose. So the Webbots, one of the things they're predicting is, yes, media telling the truth. And that would be a great thing for the world, if the media actually revolted against their controllers and told us what's really happening. And so the X-conference, just search on that on YouTube, and you'll see some coverage on that. People put those videos up on YouTube. But the rest of what the Webbots are saying as far as global revolution, violent global revolution, by the way, 80% unemployment, cataclysmic earth changes, all hitting at once, all that stuff, just the same doom and gloom silliness that all of these prognosticators have been predicting is going to hit us every year since Y2K, pretty much, and even before Y2K. And it's just becoming mainstream almost to predict the end of the world. The end is near, you know, that little placard that the crazy homeless guy carries in the cartoons or whatever. And, you know, people are seeing how well fear can generate profit. Y2K showed them that, right? All the sales of preparedness supplies and everything, people made a lot of money on that. So Unfortunately, fear still sells, and we need to stop buying. Because if you look past all that media hype, past all the fear-mongering stuff, you're going to see that very few of those disaster predictions ever come true. And if they do come true, they're mitigated to have the least amount of pain and suffering. And that event can then serve as a catalyst for consciousness. That's what disasters are there for in this illusionary world, is to catalyze us to a higher level of cooperation and love with one another. And so even though these things are potentials, yes, we could have all of that global violent revolution and earth changes that wipe out massive populations, far more likely is that we'll be mitigated from the worst of it. And we'll have just enough adversity to squeeze people, to force people into evolution with the minimum amount of pain and suffering. And so you can avoid that pain and suffering by consciously engaging your evolution right now. And then you won't need a cataclysm in your life. You won't need the poop to hit the fan in your own personal reality to shove you to that higher level. And so then I would, of course, naturally direct you back to ascensionhealth.com to help you engage that process and help you get as clear as possible. So remember, folks, this entire reality is a collective illusion, a joint venture in virtual reality that's designed to teach us one thing. Designed to teach us that love is the only thing that's real. None of the other stuff going on here is really real. The poverty, the famine, the lack, the death, the tyrants, the disasters, all of those are illusions inserted into this reality in order to get us to either feed the illusions of this world through our fear, or to squeeze us, to force us to that higher level of consciousness, to that awareness of love. And so once you know, not just as a theory, but once you really know that there are beings out there, both in the physical and the non-physical, that actually want you to be in fear so they can feed off of your energy. And why would you ever want to waste a single second on fear again? Because at the same time, there's incredibly loving beings who want you to learn those lessons of love and to join them again at those higher frequencies of thought and heart. And the ultimate lesson here is to accept that this world is only as real as the last movie that you watched. And sure, it maybe was filled with emotion and suspense and danger, but when you walked out of that theater, you were fine. None of those things that happened in the movie actually hurt you, except for maybe an unpleasant lingering memory if you watched a violent movie. And the same thing is true in this world. But we're usually so caught up in identifying with our roles in the world, identifying with all the stuff going on, and getting all serious, that we lose that higher dimensional perspective, that we're simply playing a role in a story. But it's a story where we don't know what's going to happen next. And that's kind of a tough pill to swallow, because we all want to know what's going to happen next. And we get so caught up in the wondering and the speculating and the analyzing about what's going to come, what might happen, that we lose sight of what really matters, which is right now. This moment, right now. Right now we know exactly what's happening. At least in our own personal universes, we do. And the future isn't real. Not yet. But right now, this present moment is real, and it's the only true reality. And when we combine the now moment with love, we can actually experience the ultimate reality. Or, in a sense, it's the only reality. Because, again, if you think about that idea that love is the only thing that's real, and if the present moment is the only thing that's real, everything else is just illusion. So, transcending that illusion and embodying love in the moment is really the core of ascending your frequency of thought and emotion. And once we know that, and we really know it because we're living it, then it's just a matter of gently correcting our focus when it slips out of alignment with love or out of the present moment of awareness. And gently correcting is very important. Correct yourself with love and compassion and the understanding that it's easy to slip into the chaos and the confusion and the fears of the world. And that's okay. Forgive yourself when you slip into that. Gently correct yourself. Forgiveness is key. Can't emphasize how important forgiveness is. If you only had one tool in your toolbox, it would be forgiveness. So forgive yourself when you get caught up in those frequencies of thought. Because through that forgiveness, you'll find your way back to your center. And then you can invoke your higher self. You can do a cosmic flush and refund those fear frequencies back to the higher self of anybody else who still wants to hang on to that. It's okay, let them have it. And then you can take back your energy and your power that you have allowed to go into those spheres. And then when that feels complete, your frequency is raised. And you can then, if you want to, you can bless the entire world with that love and that present moment awareness that you feel. You can bless the world with that love that you feel because you're feeling it. You're not just thinking it or theorizing it. It's in your heart, and it is you. And you can ask your higher self, the galaxy being, God, the one infinite creator, the angels, or whoever you enjoy communicating with, ask them to bless the world with that feeling of love and centeredness and empowerment that you're feeling in that moment. Because that level of loving intent really does make a difference in the world. Because it's not just you doing it. It's not just me doing it. Your loving intent combines with the energy of hundreds of thousands or millions of people on the planet who in that moment are all doing their part to keep their frequency of thought and emotion in an elevated state. And that combined energy of love will help to cool down the inflammation of fear and anger in the world. And it'll help cultivate an environment where other people can chill out and get their energy centered in the moment. And then they can work on moving into their hearts and moving into love. And that's how the world has changed. One person at a time, ascending their frequency of thought and emotion. And that one person makes it easier for the next person to do the same thing. So the next time you're getting overly serious or worried, just remember, lighten up. It's all an illusion. It's a dream. It's a ride. And the only thing that's real in any of it is love and this present moment. So until next time, I love you all. Namaste.